This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's talk about some of the tax strategies and tax benefits of being a self-storage owner today. My name is Mark Helm, and I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer, like the on-demand self-storage boot camp. That is a boot camp that's cloud-based that you can take at your own pace with a 300-plus workbook that comes with it and all the videos. And anyone who purchases that from Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage store between now and January can attend the live virtual boot camp I'm going to have in January at no additional cost. You can find out more about it at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Just hit the store tab and look for the on-demand self-storage boot camp. But today I want to talk about some of the tax advantages of being a self-storage owner. You know, one of the best things about real estate compared to most other type of investments is the tax benefits that real estate offers. Unlike, you know, buying and selling stocks, which I also do, but there's not a whole lot of tax benefits from doing that. However, owning real estate offers a lot of advantages, especially today. And let's talk about what some of them are. Now, I'm not a tax expert. I'm not a CPA. If anything I say goes against what your CPA or tax strategist is telling you, always go with what they say, not with what Mark says. So let's do a brief 40-year or so tax history of the tax benefits in commercial real estate. So back in 1985, when I was young and in my beginning year or two of my real estate business, I remember setting up an appointment with somebody offering syndications, and I brought them in to make a presentation to my father. I never will forget that. The entire presentation was focused on how to not pay taxes. He may have talked about ROI or cash on cash returns or something, but I don't remember that. I remember that the entire presentation was focused on one thing: how my father could invest in this syndication and shelter his income. And he would design a offering specifically for him and however much he needed to put in the deal so he could have a zero tax liability. So anything between the zero tax liability and what my father felt comfortable with, he could go in this investment syndication. It was even back then, it occurred really strange to me. But that abruptly ended in 1986 with Reagan's Tax Reform Act. Ever since that year, investing in commercial real estate has been very different tax-wise. And his act had basically three main components that affected us in the commercial real estate business. The first was he closed the loopholes that syndicator was trying to sell my father on passive investors being able to shelter their active income. One of the main things about it was it had the capital gains portion of the capital gains tax calculation to be taxed at the taxpayer's ordinary income rate. So the capital gains that someone owes when they sell something, it has two components to it. One is depreciation recapture, and the other is profit, or the capital gains portion of the capital gains tax calculation. That piece was no longer taxed at the lower rate. It's now taxed at the, it was taxed at the seller of the assets ordinary income tax bracket. Secondly, depreciation was extremely cut back in that 1986, but prior to that 1986 bill, accelerated depreciation was just standard in all these syndications. After that tax bill, commercial real estate had a 39-year depreciation life. In other words, you would, if you had $1 million asset and the land was worth $200,000, the remaining $800,000 was divided by 39, and that was the maximum amount you could depreciate in any given year to reduce your tax liability. And finally, a big piece that's still with us today is the passive gains limitation. So if you're not active in the real estate business, like if you're not the one making all the decisions on running that property and can demonstrate, you know, the hours that you put into it, if you're a passive investor, your losses are limited to passive income only, not to ordinary income. That syndicator that made that presentation, my father, was totally out of business at that point. Then the next big change that's still with us today in the tax law, the history of tax reform over the past 40 years or so, was the introduction of cost segregation. In 1997, there was a landmark case, Hospital Corporation of America versus the commissioner. And basically what the court said was the court put into law the fact that certain parts of a building, of that hospital building, like the electrical systems, medical equipment, specialized plumbing, could all be depreciated as personal property rather than real property. In other words, you could take certain components of your building and accelerate the depreciation. Use a 5, 10, or 15 year depreciation period for those portions of it. The IRS later even wrote the regulation rule book on how an engineer is to classify those parts of the building's components. So cost segregation took that 39 and a half year depreciation time period and allowed property owners like us, self-storage owners, to accelerate the depreciation on certain parts of the building. Here's a quick overview of what I'm talking about. Security systems, cameras, stuff like that can be depreciated as personal property, which is a 5-year depreciation period. Asphalt, paving, fencing, improvements, you know, land improvements over a 15-year period, for example. And then the building structure itself, the roof, the walls, the foundations, all of that remained at a 39-year. But if you were buying a facility, especially like if you're doing an expansion or doing some upgrades, after you do the upgrades, you get a cost segregation report. They break out the different components of the building, create a separate depreciation schedule for them, and really allow you in the early years with a cost segregation report to accelerate the depreciation each year. And as you accelerate that depreciation, that shelters the income that that asset spends off during that time period. With a cost segregation report, you can even go backwards in time a few years and refile and amend your taxes. I remember the first time I heard about it, it didn't seem possible to me, but as I researched it, it was. And the first time I used the cost segregation report, I was in a storage deal where there were three partners in it. One partner owned 50% of the deal and was not on the loan. So whatever the NOI was, she got 50% of that. We kept the remaining portion of the NOI, serviced our debt with it, and what was left over was our cash flow. And I remember the first year we put that cost segregation report in place, I distributed to her exactly $300,000 that year. And when the K-1 came out, her K-1, it was a negative 72,000. All because we were able, that cost segregation report on that particular project allowed us to accelerate the depreciation to shelter that much income. Now, keep in mind, when you sell it, that's all recaptured unless you do a what we're going to talk about later on. But that depreciation is recapturable due upon sale, unless you do a 1031 tax deferred exchange. That's the next big tax benefit for self-storage owners or people involved in investment real estate. Investment real estate, which is literally any kind of real estate other than your single family home you live in, including land, can have your capital gains tax due upon sale deferred if you exchange that property into another investment real estate project. You could do land for hotels, hotels for self-storage, doesn't matter. Those are all considered like-kind exchanges. This rule in the tax code, section 1031 of the IRS tax code, has probably been responsible for creating more wealth in commercial real estate than anything else since its introduction in 1939. In essence, whatever your tax basis is, including the depreciation, including the profit calculation on that capital gains tax, is rolled in to the next property. Theoretically, you could buy your first piece of property, exchange into another or multiple properties, and you could do that the rest of your life and never pay a capital gains tax. And then, if you want to beat and not ever pay a capital gains tax, all you got to do is die. Because upon your death, whatever your property is then stepped up to the then market value for your estate tax planning purposes. So all you got to do is die and you don't have to pay a capital gains tax ever. No, really, people have actually done that. So in theory, it's possible. I've paid a lot of capital gains tax over the years. But work with your CPA or your tax strategist to design a plan that works best for you. And take advantage as much as you can of that section 1031 in the IRS tax code. Now let's talk about something that's very relevant today called bonus depreciation. Now one of my least favorite people, the person in the White House in his first term, he had that tax bill in 2017. Now, he actually helped us as self-storage owners, or at least part of that bill did. Under the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, bonus depreciation was introduced, and you could deduct 100% of eligible 5, 7, 15-year lifespan depreciable parts of your building, as usually defined in a cost segregation report. You could deduct the 100% of the cost of those improvements in year one. Then that 100% was designed to be phased out from 2023 through 2027. However, the BBB bill, I can't even bring myself to say it, but that bill that just recently got passed, modified that phased out portion. In other words, if you place a property in service after January 19th, 2025. I wonder where he came up with that date from. But if you put a property in service after that date, you can take 100% bonus depreciation. Now, if it went in service before that date, you are still using the phase-out table. Let's take a look. Let's assume we have a $5 million asset, $5 million storage project. And we have $1.5 million classified in a cost segregation report in the 1, 7, or 15-year depreciation table. And let's assume it's 2024, 60%, not 100%. Here's what it would look like. purchase price $5 million. So let's just assume that it's 500,000 of that is for land. Building and improvements are 4.5. Cost segregation identified 1.5 of eligible bonus depreciation. At the 60% bonus, that would be $900,000 of immediate deduction. And let's say your marginal tax rate's 35%. That would be a savings of $315,000 in year one. My coaching would be get a cost segregation report that will identify, and the IRS won't argue with you because engineers do those reports and engineers follow the guidelines typically that the IRS laid out. So if you're ever audited, you basically don't even have to show up. You send the engineer in who did the report. So whatever gets identified as the 5, 7, and 15 year depreciable items, qualified items, that's what you can take as bonus depreciation. So in the self-storage business today, this interplay between cost segregation and bonus depreciation is really a powerful lever that we can pull if it makes sense for us based on our ownership strategy, based on our length of time we anticipate holding it. Now remember, although in year one and with the cost segregation report in the earlier years of your ownership, you will be able to take a lot of depreciation and shelter a lot of income. What that does is there's less depreciation in the latter years, and when you sell it, unless you do a 1031, that's going to be recaptured in your capital gains calculation tax liability. Always work with a qualified CPA or tax strategist to map out your tax strategy based on your goals and your ownership structure. But given today's environment with high interest rates, high construction costs, having a clear roadmap and a clear tax strategy could mean the difference between a go or a not go on a particular project. So there's some real tax benefits in the self-storage business today, but you got to be strategic about it, you got to be smart about it, you've got to get some good help coaching you along the way. But that's one of the reasons I love this business of self-storage. So I hope this has helped. If nothing else, I hope it's spurred your interest and have you connect with a qualified CPA or tax strategist. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is one of the ways that we analyze the future possible cash flows of a self-storage project. You can find out more about it at storageworldanalyzer.com. Thank you, and I look forward to being with you next week.